This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. If you've followed the protests sweeping Michigan cities and the rest of the United States, no doubt you've heard people saying defund the police. It's also been scrawled across poster boards and chanted by protesters. In Grand Rapids, some community members are calling for the city to reopen the budget, which was finalized in May, and put that money to use in other ways. We wanted to hear more about what's meant by defund the police. Joining us today is LaDonna Norman. She's a community activist with the Grand Rapids group, Together We Are Safe. And her group is part of a coalition that has come together to work on this issue. LaDonna, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Can you describe what the relationship between residents and Black residents, especially in Grand Rapids and the police department, feels like right now?
I can tell you from experience and observation that there's uncertainty and there's a disconnect with the Grand Rapids Police Department and the Black community. There's no people put in place for us to repair those relations.
Yeah. Well, we should say there's some history here in terms of, you know, the people, you know, I think a lot of people who don't live in Grand Rapids maybe know about the fact that there have been protests recently over the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, but that there's also a history with the local police department, especially in recent years, with how young Black people have been treated by the police. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit about what the protests looked and felt like with the knowledge of all those different events informing people's feelings about this?
So I could tell you that a group of people walked from a local inner city park downtown in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. And when we got there, it wasn't very welcoming. There was about 50 to 75 people out there, give or take, maybe even 100 at the most. And they were just sitting around, but we had come down there with the intent to say, our voices matter, our voices need to be heard. And we didn't think that our voices could be heard at Rosa Parks. Grand Rapids downtown is not for Black people or poor people. So it didn't seem fitting that we would be in a place where we're not even welcomed. I thought that we should start right where we live and come down there. But I can tell you that maybe after an hour and a half of chanting and, you know, letting our voices be heard. And there were different people just taking our megaphone and out there just saying whatever they felt they needed to say to represent us as a culture and as a people and as a community. And something happened within an hour and a half of that protest. This is the middle of the day. There were people that came from every single direction. I'm talking about, they were shutting down streets, they were coming in cars, they were coming in pickup trucks, they were coming on bikes and motorcycles. From my observation, it almost seemed staged.
Do you mean that the police response felt staged to you or prepared?
I felt prepared, in that the people, the way they rushed in, it reminded me of something that was staged. When I was downtown, there was literally 100 people. And I blinked and it was 1,000, like it was a movie. The drones that started appearing from nowhere, the police were in the corner, and I was sprayed with a chemical and I passed out. And I went to the doctor and I was diagnosed with a chemical-induced breathing problem. I was having to take breathing treatments every 4 to 6 hours. The reason I sound like a frog right now is because I'm still recovering from what they did.
Was it tear gas, do you know?
Whatever it was, there were so many people that came all at once, you wouldn't have seen it or noticed it. That's why it didn't look real to me.
LaDonna, your group has been working with several other organizations within the community, Movimiento Cosecha, GR, Grand Rapid Response to ICE, and the 360 GR movement, to talk about a whole platform of reforms that you're saying that the city needs to talk about immediately. And part of it does have to do with defunding the police. Could you tell us about what that phrase means to you?
So police reforms have not really made a difference in the safety of Black people, which is why we're calling for the defunding of the police, the Grand Rapids Police Department. We want to also call for the redirecting of the current GRPD budget. It was $54 million in 2019. That should go towards people affected by police violence. And those affected most are Black and Brown people.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Brown communities should be able to make decisions on how that $54 million should have been spent. We want to actually promote a community of care, which would result in real safety. We believe that if people have their needs met, that crime would be reduced and we could take care of our own communities. So what I'm seeing and what the community needs is we need that money to go back in the community and address the problems that have been done by the police, the abuse. We have trauma. What things are in place for trauma for Black and Brown people? It's not. There's just more police.
Right now, the city charter has language in it that says that the police department has to receive the equivalent of at least 32% of the general fund budget. Have the groups in the coalition had any conversations either amongst yourselves or with folks on city council about how to deal with the fact that this is so ingrained in the city's budget process that it's even in the charter?
Why is all that money needed for a city that made the Forbes list?
Mm-hmm.
And there are different groups that have actually, we've emailed the mayor. We've sent emails out, mass emails out about defunding the police and formed relationships with others that are in solidarity with defunding the police because these funds could go back into the community. They should be allocated for the community. There's so many people attached to this and so many people that have one common goal, and that is to repair and rebuild the Black and Brown community.
If you're just joining us, my guest is LaDonna Norman. She's an activist with the group Together We Are Safe in Grand Rapids. We've had conversations even with at least one sheriff, not from the Grand Rapids area, but from elsewhere, who, you know, when asked about the idea of defunding, said, well, he actually even said he hoped that can happen someday, but that as things stand, it's not possible to defund. How do you respond to people who say that defunding is not practical?
How do I respond? Why isn't it? It's really easy for folks that are not directly affected to have that type of attitude. But where I come from, people that look like me, they, from a very early age, they have interactions with the police and they're not the best. So most of the people that are yelling that are people that have never been directly affected the way Black and Brown communities have. So how can you speak on something that you have no direct connection to? There is a cause and effect. And what did they think? That they were going to be able to do this and things were going to get better? Because the only time the police involves themselves in the Black community is when violence happens. Why does violence have to occur to have communication with the police? Why can't it be positive interaction? Why can't city leaders and police sit down and come up with viable solutions from city leaders, from residents, and find out how we can allocate some of that $54 million back in the community for trauma, back in the community for education, back in the community for job opportunities, back in the community to take care of the community. I've found that if you take care of the community, community will take care of it.
In recent years, a number of cities, including Grand Rapids, have put into effect some reforms for policing. Things like anti-bias training, or in Grand Rapids, there are specific rules about interacting with children. Do you think that these kinds of reforms have made any difference in terms of the trust that the community has in its police?
I mean, how can you put policies in place when you have police that can't distinguish a 12-year-old from a 25-year-old or a 40-year-old? The language sounds good when you put it on paper, but how can you put policies in place when it's clearly a difference in the way African-American girls and boys, women and men develop? Our appearance is already threatening from a very young age. They keep making these mistakes and putting these policies in place, and we keep repeating ourselves. So when does it end? Why is this a continuous cycle? Why does it work in some areas where they have three or four police and not in other areas? You can't keep saying the same thing and expecting us to be comfortable with the same results.
To a lot of people, this moment feels a little different than protests that happened, you know, after the death of Michael Brown or any number of other men and women who were killed by police use of force. Do you think that there's enough political momentum this time to get city leaders to actually sign on to the changes you're pushing for?
That would be a question for city leaders.
Have you spoken with any of them?
They're not going to speak with me. Everything's virtual due to COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were in city chambers having real interaction, person-to-person interaction, which we're unable to do. I mean, things are just so different. Now, I don't even know how to answer that question.
You're saying the process is not conducive to even having a formal conversation with the city about this right now.
I just think that when we go to the city, they're going to give you controlled responses like they're paid to do. And they're able to write something out and put it in a language that sounds great, but nobody is enforcing it. So why have a policy? Who enforces the enforcers?
So no one has reached out to Together We Are Safe?
I'm pretty sure that we all got the same email.
Was it from the city?
It was from the mayor. Let's see with the email. See if I can pull that email up. So this is from the mayor's office on June 9th. Good afternoon. Thank you for your email to Mayor's Bliss office. We appreciate your engagement, as the mayor does appreciate hearing your thoughts and recommendations. As you can likely imagine, we are hearing from hundreds of people throughout the community on ways to move forward and how best to implement police reform and eliminate systemic racism. I assure you that the mayor is committed to closely examining each idea and recommendation and then moving forward with meaningful action. Thank you again for sharing your thoughts with our office, as we need everyone in the community engaging in this important work.
Yeah.
Laura Olson, this is a controlled response.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to make me feel better about what the mayor is going to do next. And the mayor is going to do what the mayor does best. The mayor is going to give another controlled response, and we're going to sit and hold our breath, and things aren't going to change.
I think I can guess the answer to this next question based on what you told me before, but we were curious to know about the police department's response. We did invite the chief to come on air, and a representative said, quoting here, "Understandably, the chief is very busy focusing on doing the work that needs to be addressed and is therefore unable to grant every request for media interviews." Regardless of how communicative the GRPD is with the media, has your group had any conversations with the police?
I actually had a conversation with the chief the day after the riot, because on the Sunday, I wanted to get downtown very early and assess the damage. And what was hard to understand was, if this riot lasted till 4:30 a.m., and here I am at 6:30 a.m. downtown, how did they find out about the cleanup? You followed the riot all night, and then you were gung-ho on getting downtown volunteering to clean up? It just all looked staged to me. I talked to the chief of police. He told me to have a good day. I then in turn said, wow, you're brushing me off, but when we're at the city commission meeting, you want to be all up in my face. Don't come to me when it's convenient or when the cameras are rolling. Come to me when you really want to do something with and for the community. I think the chief doesn't have our best interest. I think when they pick the chief, they pick the person who is able to turn a blind eye to Black and brown communities.
LaDonna Norman is an activist with the Grand Rapids group Together We Are Safe, a part of a coalition that has been asking the city to reconsider funding for the police. LaDonna, thank you for your time. We really appreciate your being willing to come on and talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Just to restate, we did make multiple requests to the Grand Rapids Police Department to see if the chief would be able to talk to us about these requests. And again, part of the response says, we'll pass on your invitation and get our message out in the many other ways that are available to us.